Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's happening, Rush Nation? I am back. Apologies for last week. COVID got me good, but I managed to kick it into touch within 3 or 4 days. So that's the main thing, right? I'm back. And as always, the stalwart, the pillar of 5 Yard is opposite me in a digital sense, not like the good old days, Murph. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I've also kicked COVID to the touch. Finally tested negative today. 13 days tested positive, but we're through it now. So, yeah, thank goodness. And we're near the end of the fantasy season, man. 10 days. We've got 10 days left. 32 games of football left to be played. And then we'll see where we are at the end of the season. And it's been a great season. It's been a long season, but it's been a good one. I was telling you off air that I've written 90 published articles in fantasy football this year. And I'll break the 100 mark by the end of the season. So, part of me is like, I don't want it to end. And part of me is like, actually, I could quite do with it ending now. So, but yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
And no, both our teams,
I mean, you have slogged it out. And...
yeah. I was going to say, I think there's a bit of a delay. I was just saying also, weirdly, I think this is the first time in 5 Yard history that both our teams are in playoff contention in real life. The Broncos and the Buccaneers are in the hunt for playoff spots. Normally, it's one or the other. It's never normally both.
Is it truly playoff contention?
Well, to make the playoffs, and neither are going to go far.
Well, yeah, there is that. Is my internet terrible?
Yeah, it is really bad. you're on a delay.
Okay. Shall I dive out and dive back in on another device and see if that works?
You do that, and I will get some house admin out of the way while you're gone, and then you'll be back. So. Rush Station, if you're watching this on the live stream, obviously you've seen stocks. There was a bit of a delay there. And then the numbers have just plummeted while he's left. Clearly he brings in the power of the show. So let's get some of the admin out of the way. We do have the Patreon. It's still going. Be dropping a Patreon cast tomorrow to be helping all the Patreonies get through there. We'll be freezing the Patreon pocket. So if you join before the 31st December, you will get the next few months free. So it's a good opportunity to try out the community and make the most of it. Plenty of content dropping. The Strategy Points podcast will drop tomorrow. There'll be lots of stuff going on with stuff I write. You can follow all of that on the X Machine, Elon Musk's Playground or Fun Ground or whatever we want to call it. Shout out to Shane, our guest last week. He did a phenomenal job. It's going to be a really interesting end of season. You know, we're really near the end now. I really want to get any questions of anyone watching who wants to ask anything. If you're posting them on, if you're watching the stream on X or Twitter or Elon Musk Fun Ground, then we can't see them. So you have to post them on either the YouTube or the Facebook link and stream, and that's how we can see them. But happy to take any questions as we're going through this. I just want to give a shout out really to all the content creators out there who've been doing a phenomenal job. Just a quick one for me is if you found a content creator who has helped you get this far or get you into a final, just drop them a DM or a tweet or post or whatever we're calling them now. And just say thanks. Just say, hey, thanks so much for helping you get here. A lot of content creators don't get paid, or certainly don't get paid a lot of money. There's not many that are making Matthew Berry money. So do drop them a line and say thanks for helping them helping you get this far. But it is your team, don't forget. You know, you've done the work. You've done the research. You're watching shows like this one. We're not looking to take all the credit, but a simple kudos would be really good. And Stocks is back, and let's see if your internet's any better.
Is that better?
It's much better. You're alive.
I have no idea what's wrong with the computer. Yeah. That's a shocker.
That's all right, man. It's good. Shout out to Patreon and said that after in 10 days' time, we'll be freezing the Patreon for a few months. there's still something going on. But as a thank you to the patrons who have supported us this season. We won't be taking any more payments for a few months. Having said that, it does mean when it's on pause, we can't add new patrons. So if you join and pay the first month, you'll get the next few months for free. So it's a really good time to join. And I'll promise to look and answer any start sit questions. It's the best way to get hold of me over the next 10 days for sure. And then, yeah, it's just an exciting time. One thing I did want to share, I stupidly didn't bring it in with me, but I shared a photo with our writers. I got an amazing, I'm going to post it on social media after this. We finished our fundraising for the year. We raised an amazing £6,004 for the MPS Society. They sent me a really nice card and certificate to say thank you. I'm going to post the picture of the certificate. Meant to put it on the live stream, left it on the table in the other room. I promise you, it's a really nice gesture, amazing testament to our community. You know, £6,000 is about $8,000-ish. It's a lot of money, so I really appreciate everyone. We still got the mid-season elimination contest going. We're down to the final of that. We've still got the Matt's Dad's charity contest to win the sort of semi-final range of that. Everyone that survives this week in that contest will get some form of prize that's been donated by the community. So amazing. We have the Champion of Champions down the final four. I'm still in that. I'm actually all the competitions mentioned, which is like a nice boost. Yeah, I upset the three seed to make the semi-final. I don't think I'm going to win. I don't think I'm good enough. But it's nice to take the Cinderella run to the semi-finals of the Champions of Champions. And yeah, all the five-yard leagues are doing really well. A lot of them are really close. Some leagues had like eight teams on like similar records, so like within one win. So yeah, it's amazing. So thank you all the money donated. Thanks for everything. And yeah, let's help people now get to their fantasy championship games, because it's all good getting to the semi-finals, but you win absolutely naffle in the semi-finals. It's let's get some finalists listening and help them win some games this week for sure.
If you are watching on the live stream and you're watching via YouTube, please do hit the like and subscribe button. It really does help us out. And then if you are listening to this as an OG podcast listener, then also follow us on your podcast platforms, because again, that really does help us out, and it helps more people get those ships, although they could be bandwagon fans at this point, because hey, ships is in 2 weeks' time, right?
That's right. Well, I find that a lot of engagement sort of dies off about this time of year. things like waiver wires really drop off because what's left on the waiver wire is not a lot of improvement to championship teams, but it's always good. I think the ones that are the dedicated souls that are listening, they're the ones that are probably in championship week because they've done the work, they've done the research. I've had to ride a bit of luck this year. You know, it's been a tough year for fantasy football, but it's been a good year as well. I think if you've been listening to us from the start, we made a lot of really bold calls. A lot of those bold calls have actually really paid off. Some didn't, but we definitely made some calls that have absolutely paid off for fantasy managers this season. We'll go back and review them all. Yeah, Dustin, let's win those titles. Absolutely. It's all about titles. That's what we're here for. I am still dreaming of a Scott Fishbowl title. I snuck in by 0.15 points this week. Literally, Jason Myers is the GOAT. He literally kicked me an extra point with a minute or so remaining. I made the original cut by 0.30, and then there was a stat correction. It took me down to number 248, but I snuck in. 200 leave the competition this week. So my team, like of Derek Henry and Travis Etienne, that did absolutely naffle last week, are going to have to kick it into hyperdrive. And Patrick Mahomes, he did next to nothing last week. So I need some players to really kick it up a notch to make the final 50.
It's not past you, big man. You're there. Just to be in the dance is one thing, and in the Scott Fishbowl, you are pretty much as close as you could possibly get. So, yeah, it's. I can't remember how far we got in our first year when we did the draft together. We didn't get as far as you are, but we did pretty well.
Quarterfinals we made that year. Scott Fishbowl 8 quarterfinals. Yeah, we had a good run that year. Made the quarterfinals again in, I want to say, Scott Fishbowl 11. Yeah, I think it was 11. And then, yeah, this is the furthest I've been. So, yeah, fingers crossed. We still got Paul Pettit as well. He also writes for 5 Yard Rush. There's four guys, I believe, that are in the UK that are still alive, and two of them are 5 yarders. Myself and Paul. Also, shout out to Dynasty Krill, Alistair Cook, and Anthony Clee at the Boye are also alive. The Boye, Anthony, has got an absolute monster team. So I think he's the leading light for the UK. I think he's got the best chance of getting the final, but we'll see. Pitsy, thanks very much. Yeah, I finally cleared COVID, so I went and got a trim. yeah, much needed. I can't tell you. For sure. And yeah, Robbie Anderson, that was a few years ago. He's Robbie Chosen now. He was Chosen Anderson last year. He's Robbie Chosen this year.
Oh,
I swear, he's on the Dolphins. I think he scored a touchdown a few weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, fair play. I mean, I did tip him a few years ago and he absolutely bombed. But that was also the year that I said that Tom Brady would be a top three QB and he was. So, you know, swings and roundabouts. you can't listen. I'm batting over 500. That's all I'm saying. If I can bat over 500, we'll keep it there. Love that, Dustin. Yeah. yeah, absolutely. I think, listen, I've got a lot of things wrong this year. I've got a lot of things right. And that's the process, right? You were never going to get anything right all the time. I stupidly said that Jalen Waddle wasn't going to have a good week. I wasn't thinking that Tyreek Hill was going to miss the game. And then he went off and had his best week of the season. Didn't see that coming, but you know, can't be right all the time. Otherwise I'd be winning a lot of money and certainly wouldn't be doing this podcast. So.
Yeah, there's always that. There's always that. So, you know, you talked about Jalen Waddle. Anything else from week 14 that surprised you?
Yeah. Let's talk about Ty Chandler, right? Cause I've been saying for a while that Alexander Mattison has been bad, right? He's just been bad. And I'm thinking, like, he's not been good anyway at any point in his career. But was it the fact if it was the Vikings, or was it just the fact that Alexander Mattison is bad? And we got the report card on Sunday. And do you know what? Alexander Mattison is bad. He's just bad. It's just him. Because Ty Chandler had 23 of the 2014 carries, 232 rushing yards, and a touchdown. Plus, he had 3 catches in the air for 25 yards. So he had a 157-yard day. To tell you how bad Alexander Mattison has been, he had back-to-back 90-plus yard games in week 3 and week 4 and has only cleared 80 rushing yards once this season after that. He hasn't averaged over 4 yards a carry since 2020. He's on 3.9 yards a carry this season, 3.8 in 2022, and 3.7 in 2021. So he is increasingly getting better every single season by 0.1 yard a carry. But he's still not hitting four. Like, Alexander Mattis is bad. He's bad. Don't draft him next year. Just don't draft him. Don't, like, he can go away. He's dust. Do not stick him in a fantasy lineup at any point. Ty Chandler, I really, in a horrible way, I hope Alexander Mattison does not come back this week, because he's only going to murk the water for Ty Chandler. Ty Chandler is the better running back. Ty Chandler is definitely the more explosive. He gets the production out of that team. Alexander Mattison, not a thing. He can go. He can just depart fantasy football. Do not draft him next year. Just don't get fooled into it. It's not happening.
There's no way the Vikings don't draft or add a running back after Mattison's terrible year, right?
Yeah, yeah. They'll add someone. Well, I mean, they added Cam Akers, right? He is floating around somewhere in the building. I don't know if he's like, I don't know, a mascot or something, but he is technically there. Yeah, I think it depends on where they draft. I can see them going running back in the draft. They might need to go QB.
Or we see a despondent Dalvin Cook say, please take me back and I'll just pay for whatever money you wanted to pay me.
I think Dalvin Cook's dust, man. I wouldn't take him back. I think they're better off without him. They'll find someone, whether it's a free agent, whether it's they draft someone. It kind of depends what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's talk about Drake London and Kyle Pitts. In fact, let's just talk about the Atlanta Falcons, right?
No, we do this every week. We talk about how bad they are. Why?
Because it's still shocking that Desmond Ridder threw the ball 20 times. He threw the ball 20 times on Sunday when they lost to the Carolina Panthers. Let's emphasize this. They lost to the Carolina Panthers, who couldn't beat... The Carolina Panthers would not beat the top four college football teams. You know, there's this whole debate every single year about would the worst NFL team beat the best college team? The Carolina Panthers are that bad. I'm really telling you now, Michigan would roll them over. Washington would roll them over. Texas is the only one. Bama would roll them over. Texas is probably the only one I think that is competitive.
Georgia would roll them over just because they'd stamp them on defense.
100%. But Drake London and Kyle Pitts had seven of the 20 targets. It's seven of the 20 targets. The other 13 went to seven other players. They threw the ball 20 times to nine players. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, what are you doing? Like, that is genuinely one of the most, like, and no one saw, everyone's like, oh, the usage of Bijan is bad and the usage of Algier is bad, and London is bad, and Pitts is bad. The usage of everybody's bad. How do they have nine guys on the roster to throw the ball to? How? Who? Like, we talked about this offseason, they had the worst receiving core in the NFL. The worst. Single-handedly the worst. Kadarial Hodge was like wide receiver three on this roster. Yes, they traded for Van Jefferson, but this team's bad. Like, how are nine guys getting the ball? Or getting targeted for the ball. Like, it's ludicrous. Mm-hmm. It's genuinely bad. And I, you know, we said last week, you weren't here, Stocks, but I was saying that Bijan's performance was a fluke because the Bucs put nine guys on the field. That's how he scored his touchdown. It saved his day. And it was like, Bijan's back. And I was like, just be careful. I don't think he is. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here. But you cannot trust the Atlanta Falcons. If you have Bijan, if you have Drake London, if you have Kyle Pitts, they all need to leave your lineup this week. They got Taylor Heineke under center again. They stupidly have dropped their quarterback again. They keep flip-flopping. They can't make a decision. It's embarrassingly bad. I can't put an Atlanta Falcon player in a fantasy lineup that is fighting for a title unless I literally have no one else. Like, I'm telling you now, if you give me the choice between Drake London and DeMarcus Robinson of the Rams, I'm taking Robinson. He scored in his last three games. He's got a usage that at least I can put in the lineup. He might not be elite. He's going to get me somewhere between 8 and 13 points. But at least I know that he's not going to get me zero. And Drake London genuinely could get you like 2 points this week. Like, can you really roll out and trust a fantasy lineup with a single Atlanta Falcon in it? I can't. I genuinely can't. Unless there's literally no one else. If there's no one else, fine. Like, you've got to roll it. But you shouldn't have Kyle Pitts on any of your teams. He should have been gone in redraft. And Dynasty is a different story. Of course it is. But Drake London's the only one you can think about starting. But with Taylor Heineke, no thanks. I'm out. I'm out. Just get out of the Atlanta Falcons business. Horrendous. And then here's a really shocking stat, right? And this is relevant for this week. So Tua has had 7 top 12 finishes this season, but he's only had 2 in his last 6 games. He was the quarterback 22 last week, and he is not good. And I talked about this last week and on the strategy pod. He is not good when he's playing top 16 quarterbacks. I even wrote about this last week. In fact, I'm going to literally pull the numbers up when I do this. But as I'm doing that, Dak Prescott has 6 top 12 finishes this season, but he's only had 2 in his last 5 games. To talk about how wacky this season is, Baker Mayfield has 7 top 12 finishes this season, but 3 of them have been in his last 6 games. So on form of the last 6 games, Baker Mayfield has had better weeks and more likely won you more matchups than Tua or Dak Prescott. What a stupid world we live in that is something that is real.
That's the most quarterback stat to go with the quarterback season we've had, though, right?
Oh, it absolutely is. And like, let's take it further. Like, I've slated Baker Mayfield a lot, and I have to give him credit where it's due. Last week he was phenomenal. Last week he's the first quarterback to throw 3 or more touchdowns. He threw 4 and have a perfect passer rating as an opposing quarterback at Lambeau Field in the history of the NFL. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, it's just, what world are we living in that, like, that is him? Like, we're watching Baker Mayfield have an elite performance, and he's had 3 top 12 finishes in the last 6 weeks. And Tua, and he's had more top 12 finishes than Dak Prescott all season.
Yep.
And then he's had more, he's had the same amount as Tua, but he's had more recently. It's just like, I just don't like, here's the stat, right, on Tua, right? And this is important. So I wrote this up last week for Fantasy Pros, right? And this is the reason why I'm out on Tua in the playoffs. And if you're playing against me, you'll notice Tua's on my bench in most leagues. Tua struggles against teams who are top 16 against quarterbacks. Tua only put up, and this was up to last week, so this has changed slightly, but not that much. He only put up 14 points this week. Tua only put up 8.82 fantasy points against the Jets in week 12. In the 8 games he has played against teams who are in the top 16 against quarterbacks in terms of fantasy points allowed, Tua is averaging just 14.34 fantasy points. Last week, Tua got you about that. I think it's like he got 14.5, 14.6. It was around that number. So he got around about the average. You just can't trust Tua in the fantasy playoffs. He just does not have a good record against good top 16 defenses. If he's averaging 14 points, he hit that average last week. And that was a game where they won 30-0. Going to be in slightly more competitive games. That could mean he throws it a bit more. He might have Tyreek Hill back. That might add a bit. I'm just saying, just be a little bit careful of Tyreek Hill, or of Tua Tagovailoa in the next 2 weeks, because that average of 14.34 fantasy points when he's playing teams against the top 16, he's got them in the next 2 weeks. Just be a little careful. I'm fading him because I've got him on teams. I've got like Brock Purdy and things like that. So I legitimately have a start sit of Tua or Kyler Murray, and I've gone Kyler Murray. Because I just think Kyler Murray might get me a ceiling. I don't think Tua gets me a ceiling.
Yeah, that's fair. I should have started Kyler last week in one of my playoffs. I went for Howell because of, I guess, just attempts and, as we'll talk about later, got benched. But
Should we? Have you seen? You must have seen the T. Higgins touchdown catch, right, against the Vikings.
Oh, it's elite. It's an elite catch.
I think from a total catch perspective, it could be the best catch I have ever seen.
It's up there.
Because
it's the technique, isn't it? And the ability to get past the man and the awareness.
That's it. It's the awareness of not only where he is and how he's caught the ball, but where the goal line is and what to do with the football whilst catching it. It's maybe not the most spectacular catch, but the fact he's caught it on the byline whilst being tackled and had the awareness to spin his arm around to break the plane whilst being dragged out of bounds before being out of bounds is breathtaking.
Yeah, it really is a stunning catch. It's a stunning catch. And he's going to have to do it again this week for the Bengals because there's no Jamar Chase this week.
Yep.
So he is going to be the guy. He elevates up massively this week for Bengals and their playoff hopes, which are, I mean, a tough division. You know, ultimately, you know, they got the Ravens who are looking a lot. They got the Browns who are still alive. The Steelers are still alive. That's a tough division there all around. There's a couple of other trends I wanted to pick up, and they're not surprises. They're just things that I found really interesting. So let's talk about Jared Goff, right? So Jared Goff had an absolute stinker against the Bears a couple of weeks ago. He had a reasonably good game last week. And I've been looking through and like trying to understand why Jared Goff sometimes just puts in a really bad fantasy performance. And you're going to laugh when I tell you this, but it's because it's cold. He's a California boy and he genuinely struggles in the cold. So in Jared Goff's career, he's played 22 games outside in the winter cold. And when he has done, and that's where it's like single digits in Celsius. So we're talking like sub 45-ish is about that line. He's averaging in the winter cold where it's like single digits in Celsius. He's averaging a pitiful 12.9 fantasy points. So in week 14 against the Bears, he was held to 161 yards. He threw multiple picks. The game time temperature was 36 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about about 2 degrees. So when it's that cold, he genuinely struggles. Now, when it's indoors, Goff's fantasy average jumps to a pretty good 19.1 points per game. There is good news. He is indoors for the rest of the fantasy season. So if you're like umming and ahhing on whether to start Jared Goff, he's not playing in the cold. He's playing indoors. He's in bowls for both games. You can start him. You can feel pretty comfortable with that. But it's just interesting that he struggles when it is really cold. So
This resonated with me, and I've just been looking it up. I can't seem to find an answer. I think the same can be said for USC. Another California team, they tend to play terribly when they go to cold places. And you think with all the traveling teams do now in the NFL and college that they would be not used to it, but be able to acclimatize better.
Yeah, but how do you? The Buccaneers were the same for years. The Buccaneers, whenever they used to travel on the road in winter conditions, used to really struggle. And it's only been the last sort of half a dozen years.
When they had Tom Brady, one of the best cold weather quarterbacks.
But you say that, but they did it at the weekend. They did it. They went to Lambeau in the weekend when it was similar temperature, and they absolutely bossed it. So it's not just Tom Brady. There has been a seismic shift in the last 4 or 5 years where the Buccaneers aren't doing better in colder conditions. But they used to historically be horrific. And they're not the only team. There's quite a few teams that have generally struggled on the road in the cold. The Dolphins are one that sort of popped to mind as well. Another stat is, again, I've been really perplexed by Breece Hall this year. So I'm like trying to understand. And I know that the team is bad, right? And I know they're on to Trevor Siemian at quarterback this week. So all bets are off as to what happens for the Jets. But through the first 7 games, 31% of Breece Hall's fantasy points came through the air. So he was generally getting the majority of his points as a rushing running back, which is kind of what you would expect. But since then, over the second half of the season, more than 80% of his fantasy production has come through the air. Like, more than 80% of his production as a running back has come as effectively as a wide receiver. Like, that is baffling. And before their blowout loss to the Dolphins, he had three straight games we saw eight or more targets.
For a running back, that's ludicrous.
Yeah, it's a strange scenario. What's up, Sven? Long time no speak. Yeah, it's a strange one. Like, I just am generally like 80% of his product. So it makes me think, if that is a constant trend with Trevor Siemian coming in now, do I trust Breece Hall this week? Because he's not getting anything on the ground. Or do we just risk it and see what happens? I genuinely am perplexed is why I looked into this, because I'm sitting there thinking, like, he's not a must start. If he gets eight, if you tell me now on Sunday he's going to get eight targets, I'm in. I'll start him. But he got two against the Dolphins. So I genuinely don't know. Like, I don't know if I can start him yet. I need to really work out my process and decide what I'm going to do, because I am a little bit perplexed as to what to do with Breece Hall, and he's causing fantasy managers an absolute headache.
Yeah.
But over 80% production in the second half of the season has come through the air. So he's effectively doing nothing on the ground, which is just baffling for a guy of his talent. Is he hurt? Is he not hurt? I don't know. Like, it's genuinely baffling.
But surely if he was hurt at this point in the Jets season, with Aaron Rodgers now definitely not playing, they would have said, right, Breece, if you're hurt, we're just going to shut you down for the year.
Yeah. I mean, you would think
rather than throw him out as a receiver.
I mean, you're paying all that money to Dalvin Cook. So just let him have a go.
Yeah. Wild.
It is baffling. I'm genuinely stunned. But that was anyway. I got into it because that's what I do. I try and solve problems that are just bothering me, and just bother me where his points are coming from. But yeah, there we go.
Crazy. That's crazy. I'll tell you who else is solving problems. Not solving problems, but doing something to prove his critics wrong. That's Brock Purdy. I think he's second in the NFL in yards per attempt, but 32nd in the league in attempts or something crazy like that. So Brock Purdy's just out there just raising hell on very little attempts. It's crazy.
Mr. Irrelevant could genuinely win MVP.
Like,
he could genuinely win MVP, because you have to look at the criteria to win MVP is you have to be the one seed in your conference and you're the starting quarterback, which at the moment it's Lamar Jackson and Brock Purdy. Who are you giving the MVP to out of those two?
That's such a difficult question, because I think Lamar's had an unbelievable year.
Giving it to Purdy because we didn't expect it.
Well, Lamar, there is that.
Is Lamar Jackson any better than he was? And it's unfair. It's unfair. I totally understand this. Don't come at me, because I love Lamar Jackson. But he is not as good as he was in his MVP year.
Yeah, and I think the same can be said for CMC. Like, CMC is exactly the same, right? He's had a 1,000 season, and he's not going to get that this year in receiving. So he's nowhere near as good as he was in his best year, and he didn't win MVP then.
No, and unfortunately, running backs don't win it. As much as, personally, I think he deserves it. I think even Brock Purdy says he deserves it. I wouldn't be angry if he won it, but I can't see it. It's so if things stay as they stand, and that is, we still got three games to play, Brock Purdy, for me, probably is going to win the MVP.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I think
it's still irrelevant. Winning the MVP would literally send the NFL draft into this would be like up. This would be getting there with like Brady at 199 stuff.
Oh, it's crazy the fact that the last player who could not have been drafted essentially by one pick goes on to win an MVP and potentially a Super Bowl.
Do you know what I think they should do? If he wins MVP. You know they do like the Mr. Irrelevant week and with Mr. Irrelevant parade. He should get his own Mr. Irrelevant MVP parade. Like that would genuinely be the greatest thing ever. Like they should sell subscriptions to that. I'd pay and watch it. Like that stuff would be hilarious. Like I think it'd be great. Someone needs to do it. Market it. There you go. If you're listening, there's a business idea. Go get the right people involved and go make a load of money off it. And then cut me off a slice for the idea.
I think it would be nice for him to win it because he was the last or one of the last of the generation of non-NIL deals. So you've got Arch Manning out there making 3.2 something million this year and Brock Purdy's on 700 grand, like five times what Brock Purdy's earned. And the guy could be an NFL MVP. And Arch Manning hasn't really played football yet. It's crazy.
Yeah. It is one.
Crazy. Let's talk then some statistical trends that we need to monitor heading into this second to last momentous week of the fantasy playoffs, Murph. And starting with James Cook.
Let's talk about Sir James Cook, right? Because
Sir James Cook.
I'm knighting him. I've got quite a bit of James Cook. He got me through a difficult matchup after difficult matchup last week. I'm knighting, well, because there was the Explorer, right? Sir James Cook. He's had his two strongest games of the year over the last 2 weeks. He's looking like a league winner. It's not the best role. He's getting vulture touchdowns off Josh Allen. But ultimately, the guy is absolutely storming it. The last couple of weeks, he has been phenomenal. He's been up there, top five, top six running back each of the last 2 weeks. And he's pretty much eliminated Latavius Murray to a season-low 17% snap share. But Murray does vulture some touches inside the 10, which is really annoying. But Sir James Cook, dock my cap to you, sir. You are absolutely crushing it. I'm excited to see what you bring this week. I hope I'm playing more with you than against you this week. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I've had no James Cook this season and have suffered for it. Ty Chandler, we mentioned him earlier. If anything else you want to mention on him before we shift on?
Huge load, 79% of snaps. I put that he's likely to earn a 50-50 share of Alexander Mattison if he's back. If they go to a 50-50 share, then Kevin O'Connell's an idiot. Like, I've just talked about like why Alexander Mattison is bad. Like, let's just give Ty Chandler the ball. Let's just forget Alexander Mattison exists, or we can have a few like courtesy touches or whatever you have to do to, you know, make him not be angry. I don't know, but like ultimately just give Ty Chandler the ball. That's all you got to do. It really isn't that hard. He's been elite.
Yes. So let's talk some Zeus. Zamir White finally did something in the NFL with Josh Jacobs being absent.
Yeah, 71% snaps, 59% routes run. He got all the running back touches, which was two of them inside the 10. He had a really good week. I mean, did anyone see the Raiders putting up 63 points on Thursday Night Football? I certainly didn't. Like, that was of this crazy season. Seeing the Raiders put up 63 points without Josh Jacobs, with Aiden O'Connell at quarterback. Yeah. I'm done. Like, I'm done with the end of it. Like, what? People sit here and go, oh, it's scripted. Like, you can't script that. You can't. Nope. You can't script Baker Mayfield throwing a perfect game at Lambeau, and you cannot script the Raiders putting up 63 points after being shut out in a 3-0 loss the following week. Not even the following week, 5 days previously. Like, it's wild. Like, it's genuinely mind-boggling. Like, I thought Brandon Staley must have had dirty secrets on Dean Spanos. I definitely thought that was a thing. Because it's like, how is Staley not being fired? And then he puts up, he loses. The Raiders come to town, put up 63 points. And they're like, yeah, seen enough. He can go. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I can't believe Brandon Staley was still in the job until Friday. Like, that was wild. Like, if Aiden O'Connell and the Raiders with no head coach put up 63 points against you, yeah, you deserve to lose your job. Yeah, he's probably the other guy. Yeah, fair enough. I can't argue. I've got no defense. Yeah.
I've already packed. I'm off.
Yeah, to be honest, I was expecting this phone call. Yeah. It's coming 4 hours previously. I don't know what you were doing. I'll take the extra day's pay, though. Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah, wild. But Zamir White is no longer going to be a thing because it looks like Josh Jacobs is packed this week. So Zamir White will pretty much do very little this week.
Yeah. Talking of someone who's not back, Keelan Allen has just been ruled out of this weekend's football.
That's so bad.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
That's a killer. It's a killer to some of my teams.
I played in my second home league, the one that I'm not in with you, Murph, but another one. I made a big playoff push for Keenan Allen and traded a first round pick for him this year, and then he didn't play last week. And had I've made the playoffs, he wouldn't have played today. So I've now got an aging wide receiver that didn't help me in the playoffs. So thank you, Mr. Allen. Although I don't blame him with the state that the Chargers are currently in.
Yeah, it's a tough place to be.
What did this, something just popped up about Taylor and Pittman as well? But I didn't
both
see
practiced.
It.
Both practiced today.
Oh, that's good news. That's good news. Devin Singletary, Murph, continues to do Singletary stuff.
Yeah, wild. So a couple of weeks ago, I said, oh, Damian Pierce is like he's getting back into the groove with Devin Singletary. And I said last week, oh, it looks like Devin Singletary's got his role back. And now it looks like Damian Pierce has fallen completely off a cliff. This is, of all the players I got wrong, he is the one I got wrong probably the most this season. I was convinced Damian Pierce was going to be a thing. I made a big thing about he'd been shot and he came back. No, it was Brian Robinson. I said Damian Pierce had a heavy role, though. I think he was the other one. But we were right about Brian Robinson, so I'm okay with that one. It's because he got shot. That's why he came back. But yeah, I did think Pierce would have a big role. And I didn't think Devin Singletary was going to be a thing, and he has. You know, 75% of snaps, 58% route runs. He had 31 touches on Sunday. Now, I know that they didn't have CJ Stroud, but did anyone see a 31-touch Devin Singletary game coming? Because I certainly didn't. He had 170 total yards. Like, Damian Pierce played on 4 snaps in a game that was so running back heavy for them that Devin Singletary had 31 touches. Pierce played on 4 snaps.
If that's not unusual. Like, Singletary did have a 30-carry game a couple of weeks ago, though.
30-touch game, yeah. But Pierce played a lot of snaps as well. It was a very running-heavy game with the conditions. For Pierce to play 4 snaps, that is bye-bye, he's done. Like, if he's on your rosters, he can go. I'm genuinely concerned when they had no CJ Stroud, they had Case Keenum stinking up the place, and they let Devin Singletary basically just have every ball. It's just like, yeah, and Noah Brown got a bit. If Damian Pierce can't get anything in that game script, he done. 4 snaps? Yeah, bye. He can go off rosters. If you've got him anywhere, he can go. If he's in Dynasty, maybe see if he gets traded.
It's fair. Rashee Rice.
Love him. Absolutely love Rashee Rice. First game over, 90% of routes. He is absolutely smashing all those key peripheral numbers. He is a mid-range wide receiver 2 for the rest of the season with wide receiver 1 upside. He is a smash play in every single line. If you have Rashee Rice in your fantasy roster and he is not starting, I'd love to see your roster. I'd love to know how you can't get him in your team. He is, for me, easily a top 15 wide receiver rest of the season. Good schedule, good matchups. Everything goes his way. I'm all for Rashee Rice. He's absolutely dominating. That role is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And with no Sky Moore and with the rest of his supporting cast being bang average, it really is Rashee Rice to the moon for the rest of the fantasy playoffs.
The new cryptocurrency, Rashee Rice to the moon. Trey McBride, Murph. You continually talk about this fella and it's for good stuff.
So I think Dynasty Rich Cooling was on a couple of weeks ago, said that he would have Trey McBride in his dynasty rankings over Sam Laporta. because of Sam Laporta likely getting and probably getting some touchdown regression. I'm completely with Rich on this, 120%. I am literally Sam Laporta. If you gave me a choice right now to draft Trey McBride or Sam Laporta, I'm taking Trey McBride because his role is completely replicable. It's the same. It could have the same role next season. He still missed time. He missed some time in the week, in the game. He had to go off. He had his shoulder. He had 11 targets on just 72% of routes run because he missed some time. So that meant he had 33% of targets per route run. So every time he ran a route, every one in three, he got the ball, which is just an absurd number. A good number is somewhere around about 25%. 33 is elite. Like, that's an elite number. So he is clearly, like, he's on the field, he's getting the ball. And that is what's going to happen. So if you have Trey McBride in your fantasy lineups, he is going to be a significant advantage, especially in PPR for the rest of the season.
Okie dokie. Let's talk about another tight end who's had a monster week, David Njoku.
Well, he's not just monster week last week, but ever since Joe Flacco's come back or come into the side, David Njoku has just gone off. He's been absolutely monstrous. He scored a couple of touchdowns 2 weeks ago. He follows that up with 14 targets. And we just talked about Trey McBride having 33% targets per route run. David Njoku beat that. He had 37% targets per route run. Like, that's ridiculous. It's such an insanely high number. He is absolutely dominating, but he's also really efficient with the ball when he's got it as well. So David Njoku is a top five fantasy tight end for the rest of the season. He's going to win you games. Him, McBride, Laporta. I could argue that those three are more valuable than Kelsey right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. Taylor Swift has clearly ruined Travis Kelsey, but hey, that's for Hanson to make jokes on and not me. Dontavian Wicks, Murph, strong outing.
Oh, really strong outing against the Bucks. Now, Christian Watson out. Christian Watson didn't practice yesterday. I haven't seen if he's practiced today or not. He had 7 targets, led the team 97 yards receiving. Season high, 76% of routes. This guy was a waiver wire ad this week. You had to add him, if nothing else, because you didn't want someone else to start him against you. I'm not saying you necessarily have to start him this week because it is a tough matchup, but I look at that and just think you've got to have him because he's getting a more valuable role. If you look at that wide receiver core now, it's all about Jaden Reed, who we talked about for weeks or months or however long we talked about Jaden Reed. And then it's Dontavian Wicks. And then there's one other person we'll get to in a bit. It's not Romeo Dubs. That role is continuing to decline for him. He's down to a really minuscule amount of snaps played and targets on the team. Christian Watson, probably not going to play this week. I don't know for sure. We'll see, but he hasn't practiced yet, so that's not a good sign. Dontavian Wicks, man, if you're just looking for a flyer to do something this week, he could be your guy. He might still be out there in your league, so go pick him up.
Another ACL tear for a Ravens running back, but hey, the Gus bus is back. Toot, toot.
Yeah, I mean, it is a weird one that they kind of sidelined him when he was on this crazy run of scoring multiple touchdowns every week. But now that Keaton Mitchell is gone, I do expect Gus Edwards, especially as they've got a more difficult schedule over the next couple of weeks and they're trying to secure the one seed, I expect Gus Edwards to have an elevated role. He's clearly, when they've been the two running backs, him and Hill, he dominated. When he had his best weeks, there was no Keaton Mitchell. It was just him. It was just Hill. I do expect Melvin Gordon to probably get a few snaps here or there because it seems to be that they like to have multiple running backs available to them. But I expect an elevated role for the Gus bus. I expect him to be a startable option. I've got him inside my top 20 running backs this week. And I think if he can score you a couple of touchdowns this week, which is very doable, he's getting all the work inside the 10, he could be a running back one this week.
Yeah, I got quite a lot of Gus bus in my playoff team, so I'm excited for hopefully the punch home those two touchdowns that you just promised me, Murph. Let's talk some Jameson Williams.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's finally starting to be the wide receiver that we kind of half expected when he was drafted. He's up to a season high 72% of routes. He had 7 targets. He had 113 air yards. Everything was kind of going well for Jameson Williams. It is all trending upwards. It's not necessarily correlating in the box score yet, but that role is growing. If you're a dynasty player and you have Jameson Williams, this is the kind of thing you want to see. Jameson Williams can't start in a redraft league. He's not in, unless you're in a super deep league, he's not a player I'd be playing in the championship playoffs. But this is what you want to see from the Lions and from Jameson Williams for at least the rest of the season to give you confidence for next season if he can start the season healthy. Josh Reynolds is under 60% of routes. That's the second straight week that's happened, but it's only the third time all year that's happened. So it definitely is very much like Josh Reynolds is on the downturn. Jameson Williams is on the upward turn. But Jameson Williams isn't in a startable conversation yet. But as a dynasty owner of Jameson Williams, you'll be at least pleased to see an upward trajectory in his performance.
How about Darren Waller? Is he startable this week?
Yeah, I think you've got to start him with how bad the tight end position is. He's a low-end tight end one for me. 27% targets per route run. That's a really good rate. He did only run in 48% of routes in his return. It's not a surprise. He's been out with an injury, but he's still got 6 targets on those 48 routes. So really good number to see for Darren Waller. It'd be really good to see that number this week. There isn't really a lot of talent on this roster. Tommy DeVito isn't really a deep ball passer. He's going to keep it shallow and short. I expect Darren Waller to be significant in the final weeks of the season if he stays healthy.
Okay, let's talk some Jalen Waddle. What are you doing with him now? Tyreek is back at practice.
He goes back to my bench. He goes back to my bench this week. I can't start him. Going into this week, Jalen Waddle was the wide receiver 28. Right? So going into last week, sorry. He was the wide receiver 28 going into last week. Yes, Hill goes out. Yes, he has a monster game because there isn't another wide receiver to target. They don't really play with tight ends. So it really is just everything went to Jalen Waddle and he did well. Like, don't get me wrong, he did well. He might carve a very small role for himself, but ultimately Jalen Waddle has not been trustable in starting lineups. He's burned you more likely than he has actually performed for you. And then as I talked about Tua Tagovailoa earlier, he doesn't really perform in these big games against teams with winning records, against teams that are good against quarterbacks. So if you think about the fact that he's only getting about these 14, 15 points, yes, okay, wide receivers score more, they get touchdowns, etc., and all that. I can't see a path to Jalen Waddle getting 15 fantasy points this week. So the way I look at it is, if I have a player who's going to get me a bankable 12 points, Jalen Waddle sits on my bench. And if I've got a championship team and Jalen Waddle's part of it, I probably have, like, Mike Evans. I probably have Amarase Brown, or I have Puka Nacua. I have options that aren't Jalen Waddle. Devonta Smith is another one. I'm just thinking of teams where I have Jalen Waddle, and then I'm thinking I'm just not starting him because I've got these other options. I can't start him unless I'm really I think he's a high-end wide receiver 3. That's flexible. I get it. If you haven't got the deepest of rosters, I get it. But if your roster's stacked, he should probably sit. I've just named a load. I can name you about 25 players I'd easily start over Jalen Waddle, but we're running out of time, so I'm not going to. But I'll look at my rankings. I think he's probably somewhere in that sort of wide receiver. I had him at wide receiver 26 before the Hill injury, like last week. I think Hill's going to play this week. I'll probably have him in a very similar sort of range, somewhere between wide receiver 23 and wide receiver 26 is where I imagine he'll end up in my rankings.
Which is a bench wide receiver, unless you need to flex him, right? Like you said, he's
a low start, a high flex. But if you've got better receivers, if you built receiver heavy drafts, you probably have better options than Jalen Waddle.
So at the start of the season, I was convinced that Khalil Herbert was going to be the thing. You definitely told me he wasn't. And hey, look, Roshan Johnson is now the guy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was out on Kalen. I was out on Khalil Herbert early. I thought Foreman would be the guy, and then he got injured and they didn't start. And then Roshan kind of started to be the guy, and then he got injured, and then Khalil Herbert got injured, and then Foreman became the guy. And then now, look, Roshan Johnson is the most talented running back on this roster. He's the best running back on this roster. The only thing that was a surprise to me was that he got more of the role. 48% of snaps, 42% of routes in a mostly positive script. So typically when they're winning games, he doesn't really get featured. It's only when they're trailing games and they're looking for that explosiveness. Rachel Johnson comes in. Dante Foreman was really bad. If you started Dante Foreman, you probably didn't win your matchup last week. He ended up with negative points last week. so going forward, I expect Roshan to be the guy. I can't trust any of them in the starting lineup this week. But if I had to pick one for Dynasty going forward, Roshan Johnson would be that guy.
So the mess that is the Steelers saw Jaylen Warren have a bright week.
Yeah, it's a funny one. I think we talked about this last week with Shane, who was saying at no point Jaylen Warren has had a dominant role. And I was sitting here saying, like, Najee Harris is still the guy. He still has the majority of snaps every single week. And then it's like the Steelers were tuning into this podcast and like, you suck. We're going to make sure that we do something very, very different. And so Jaylen Warren plays on 83% of routes, which is, and he had 7 high value touches, which season high in routes, season high in high value touches. And it's the first time we've seen him in this sort of role for over a season.
Like, well, just in case Mike Tomlin is listening, Murph, anything you should suggest this week for the Steelers to do?
They don't listen to me because I said get rid of Matt Canada about like a year ago. But I just want to salute him. I said, listen, you've got a pretty average team and you're in contention. Like, kudos to you, my friend. You're having a great season. He doesn't need to listen to me. He's a god in football. Like, for what he does with mediocre talent, like, hats off to you. I can't criticize Mike Tomlin one iota. He's not an offensive guy. He's a defensive guy. There's not a lot of time for Mike Tomlin. I've got a lot of time for the Steelers organization. I think they're a very classy organization. They tend to do things the right way more often than not. The way they treat their players and the way they treat their staff, they tend to do things the right way. I don't really have a lot of criticism, so there's not much I can say. But if I could ask for something, because it's Christmas, just you've been feeding Deontay Johnson the ball. He's got touchdowns in 3 consecutive games, which is phenomenal. Just keep doing that because I love Deontay Johnson. Just keep giving Deontay Johnson the ball and I'm a happy bunny.
Right. You said we're going to mention another Packer. Let's talk some Tucker Kraft.
Season high, 93% of routes. He finds the box on Sunday against the Buccaneers, who gifted them a touchdown early in this game. Tucker Kraft is he's if you're looking at a player with an upward role who could find the box, Tucker Kraft on the waiver wire is probably that guy. I'm not saying you definitely start him, but when you look outside of sort of like the top 7 or 8 tight end options, the rest are just a crapshoot. I'm probably willing to throw Tucker Kraft in with like a Cade Otton, as those two guys are the guys I think are most likely to find the box, as opposed to someone like a Dallas Goedert, as opposed to a Pat Freiermuth. These are the sorts of players who just haven't consistently found the box and aren't in an upward trajectory. Kraft, Otton, those two guys are. Take your pick. I would much rather sort of, if I was stuck, if I had like Cole Kmet and I didn't trust him this week, you know, Juwan Johnson, Gerald Everett, if I'm in that kind of ilk of player and I'm like struggling, yeah, I'd make the case for Tucker Kraft this week. I think he's someone that you can... I'm not saying he's going to find the box, but I'm looking at players with upward trajectories. He's definitely in that scheme of players that are going in the right direction, as is Cade Otton. Those two guys are guys I'm thinking they could find the box this weekend. They're more likely to find it than guys like Hunter Henry, who doesn't score touchdowns on the road, for example. So, yeah, give it a spin if you're desperate for touchdowns at the tight end position.
Finding the box. Sam Howell got benched.
Yeah,
if he had completed one more pass, Murph, I would have made the semis in my home league. So I lost by less than 1 point.
Wow, that's crazy. Look, Jacoby Brissett played well, man. I'm not gonna lie. At the start of the season, if you told me that Howell would still be the starter 14 games in, I'd have gone no way. I wouldn't have believed you. but he's had a good season. Like I can't really criticize Sam Howell. I don't think he's been good the last couple of games. I felt the decision to bench him was harsh. And then now you've got Pandora's box, because now you've sort of said, hey, we've got Jacoby. He's experienced and he played pretty well. Now they've named Sam Howell as the starter this week, but his leash is, we're now in the Mac Jones, Brady Zapp, Bailey Zapp kind of territory of, if Sam Howell doesn't play well for like three or four series, he's gone. You can't play Sam Howell in the lineup anymore, because that Pandora's box has been opened. And now you know you've got someone like Jacoby Brissett there who can come in and do a job. I personally, like, if I'm Washington, I don't know why you just don't finish the season with Sam Howell. You're not making the playoffs. So I kind of like, I don't know, like, why you wouldn't just finish the season with Sam Howell. Because then you can do your full evaluation, decide what you want to do next year. I mean, Ron Rivera is pretty much gone. So maybe he just doesn't care. I don't know. Like, it's just, the problem is you've got this scenario in Washington where it's just a complete unknown. It's a complete unknown. The head coach is 1 foot out of the door. It's the worst kept secret that he is likely gone. So is Bieniemy like the coach in waiting? Are they going to clean house? Is there going to be a new GM? Are they going to go new quarterback? Like, it's just, Washington's a mess, and it's not a surprise given their ownership that they're a mess, but it doesn't help fantasy football. The one thing I'll point out as well, and I haven't talked about this, but I just published my article on Fantasy Pros. If you don't know it, it's the wide receiver cornerback matchups. I've got Curtis Samuel in there as a matchup I'm looking to swerve this week. I hate his matchup. He's up against Marlon Humphrey. He's not. let me get it right. He is up against Michael Carter of the Jets. So, you know, Carter, top six corner in the league in terms of fantasy points per route run conceded, is in the lack of them. Jets only allow 17.9 fantasy points per game to fantasy wide receivers. And then you've got this mess of what's going on at quarterback, head coach. I'm just fading them all. Like, Thomas can sit. Samuel can sit, McLaurin can sit, Howell can sit. They can all sit because I just don't like that situation against the Jets. I don't love it. And if I'm wrong, I'll swallow it. But none of them are good enough. They're not elite. We're not talking about benching a Justin Jefferson here. We're not talking about benching an elite player. The only one that I might consider playing if he's healthy, and he certainly doesn't look it at the moment, is Brian Robinson. Everyone else, I'm out. I don't want part of it. If I had Logan Thomas, he can go. I'll take Kraft or Otten or one of those guys. I just don't want part of Washington this week against the Jets with all that uncertainty. And now we've got Pandora's box opened. Nah, no thanks. I'm out.
That's absolutely fair. A blast from the past. The name I recognize on this doc, Tommy Tremble.
I know, right? Tommy Tremble. I didn't Wild. Really know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why I put him on here. I'll be honest with you. I'm thinking, I haven't talked about a Panthers player for about 5 weeks now. I figure, like, I should probably mention something of them. And so, Tommy Tremble, 71% of routes, which was a season high. Don't start him. Don't grab him. It's just interesting. In a game that they won 9-7, Tommy Tremble got some action. Like,
it's a Carolina trend.
It's basically like it's Chuba Hubbard and no one else. Just forget about the Panthers, are one of those teams you can just ignore. Like, it can just go away and not important, unfortunately. Like, and I don't mean to upset Panthers fans, but
no, the Panthers are doing that.
I probably already did that when I said that the top four college teams would beat them. I don't know what to say. Just like Tommy Tremble, 71% snaps. Maybe that's a thing. I don't really know. I don't trust it enough to put him in a lineup or even waiver bid him. But who knows? If he finds the box this week, I look like a genius. That's probably the only reason I put it on there. But yeah, I don't trust him at all.
And then last up, former Denver Bronco Noah Fant.
I you know how much I love Noah Fant. So anytime I get to talk about him in a positive light, I'm going to do it. Season high, 69% of routes. He was the main tight end in 11 personnel, which is good. And basically, I think they're going to stay 11 personnel more. JSN starting to become more of a thing. He scored the crucial touchdown for them to beat the Eagles. By the way, I have to shout this out. Have you seen the moment that the game's about to end and Drew Lock and Geno Smith have a moment?
No.
It's a beautiful thing. Like, this is why I love sport. So, like, Drew Lock is doing, like, I think it's like a, it's almost like a mobot on his chest. He's going like that. I don't know, maybe his heart. I can't quite tell what he's doing. He's doing like this sort of motion. And then Geno Smith, who's on the touchline, who's injured and he's not playing, he's doing the exact same thing on the touchline. He's looking at Drew Lock and he's doing the exact same thing. And it's a really beautiful moment of a guy who has gone through a heck of a lot in his career in Geno Smith to eventually get a starting gig. He gets injured and he's supporting his backup. It was just a really nice, touching moment for sports. And Drew Lock is one of those guys that he's not blessed with elite talent, but you can't help but root for the guy. He's got a really great personality. He's got a really great heart and kindness. And he just is one of life's good guys. Like, you can't help root for him. And it was a nice moment. But basically, JSN, I think they're going to try and get all three wide receivers on the field. That will mean an uptick for Noah Fant. Again, I'm not saying trust him, but don't be shocked if he finds the box.
Okay. Good news for Noah Fant. Welcome, hopefully, welcome back to some NFL relevance.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to find it in Seattle. It's not really a place that tight ends really show up and do much. But
how dare you? Jimmy Graham would suggest otherwise.
Don't talk to me about Jimmy Graham. He scored again on Sunday.
I know. Hasn't he scored on every catch or something stupid? Like, something he might as well just
like that. Like, we're basically in the season where we're watching Jimmy Graham score catches, get catches, and people are wasting an abnormal amount of fab on Joe Flacco. If that isn't 2023 in a nutshell, I don't know what is.
Well, there you go, big man. There you go. Talking of 2023 in a nutshell, yes, this is semi-final week, but it is also Christmas week, and we have been blessed with football on Christmas Day. I don't know if I'll get to see any of that, but hey, we've got the chance on Christmas Day this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm in a similar boat. I think I'm probably going to get to watch the games when I get home. But I think what... I was having this debate. My wife was like, I don't know why they play games on Christmas Day. Like, that's really unfair. And I'm like, yeah, but I'd rather play games on Christmas Day and then you can kind of just relax in the evening. Like, if you're playing, like, Monday night football, that's probably quite crap. But it's better than playing on Boxing Day and you can't enjoy your Christmas at all. That's how I
view
it. But we got some good games on Christmas. We got 49ers Ravens on Monday Night Football. That's going to be a barnstormer. The two number one seeds at the moment in their respective conferences playing. People calling it a Super Bowl preview, I'm not so sure, but hey, might be. Chiefs Raiders at 6 o'clock on Christmas Day. That's a nice way to spend it in. We can watch a bit of that. Eagles Giants. I mean, that is going to be a bloodbath if anyone likes to watch. Gory films, then that was probably going to be one for you at 9:30 on Christmas Day. I tell you what I'm not staying up for is Sunday Night Football, Broncos Patriots.
Well, it's technically Christmas Day for us, that 1:15 Christmas morning.
I'll go to bed.
Well, as a Broncos fan, I will also be in bed, so there you go.
That's the only thing. We got some great games this week. Dolphins, Cowboys, Bucks, Jags. Vikings, Lions. There's some really good games this week. Chargers, Bills, if the Chargers can, you know, get off the sofa. Steelers, Bengals, Rams, Saints. That's tonight. Some good games, man, this week. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. And, tonight's game is going to be a tough one, but it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Right, Rush Nation, that is going to wrap up the show for today. We would like to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas from the 5 Yard staff. Hope you all enjoy your festivities, whatever you are doing. If you are traveling, I hope it goes well and you stay safe. If you have got the in-laws round, best of luck. And just enjoy yourselves, enjoy the football, and we hope to see you in the finals to get some ships. It's 2 games away before those docks start filling up. Big man, I hope you enjoy your Christmas period.
Thanks very much. Same to you. My wife rejected my plea for the 12th year in a row for me to sod off alone to the Caribbean. So I will be spending Christmas with family. But hey, do you know what's great? Is there's another Christmas next year and I can put in another request next year and it will get denied next year. But I'm going to keep trying like that. It's like that and my lazy boy are the two main things I fight for in life that I never get. But hopefully one day I will have both.
I feel like the lazy boy is the front runner in that competition.
I tell you now, it's not.
There's no way you're not getting a lazy boy over going to the Caribbean on your own at Christmas.
I promise you, I'm more likely to get the Caribbean at Christmas than I am the lazy boy.
Well, that is the most 2023 NFL comment I have ever heard.
We'll see. But yeah, I mean, listen, both are not happening, but
okay. Yeah.
The thing is, well, the way that my wife would justify it is that the Caribbean would be like me for like a week max. And then that would be it. It would suck, but that would be what it is. The lazy boy would be for life.
You need a bumper sticker. Lazy boys are not just for Christmas.
No, I kid you not, it's on my bucket list to own a lazy boy.
Okay.
Who knows? I've advertised this. It will happen one day.
Well, from me to you, let's hope it really does. But I really do hope you enjoy your Christmas period. Enjoy spending time in dreary England instead of the Caribbean, because hey, home is where the heart is, right? Rush Nation, don't forget to follow the podcast on X at 5 Yard Rush and follow the big man at Murph_NFL. But until the in-between Christmas and New Year period that doesn't really have a name, as always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.